right, guys, welcome to Always Hungry from iHeartRadio. My name is Bobby Flay, and I'm here with my daughter and co-host.
I'm Sophie Flay.
And on Always Hungry, Sophie and I gather around my stove to cook together.
Well, you cook, I ask the questions and eat the food.
If there's any food left, we come to the table together to share a meal, connect as a family, and tell the stories that matter to us. All right, Sophie, this theme today is all about getting you more comfortable in the kitchen.
Yeah, Dad, I keep asking you to teach me how to cook, and, like, I don't know, like, I feel like you've been shying away.
I've been shying away because you've been running away. But I got 5 dishes for you.
Okay, let me hear them. All right, Dad, what are we making right now?
All right, we're going to make one of the dishes that I think you need to have in your repertoire.
Ooh, okay, what's that?
Chicken piccata.
Yum, I love chicken piccata.
Everybody loves the piccata.
Yeah.
So basically it's gonna be chicken breast, boneless and skinless, some capers, we're gonna pound the chicken, we're gonna have some butter, some lemon, and some parsley. That's as simple as it gets.
Okay,
so the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna pound the chicken.
Great.
Oh, do we have a mallet?
Yeah.
Where?
Right here.
Oh, there it is. Perfect. So I have the chicken breast, boneless and skinless, in between two pieces of parchment, of plastic wrap.
Already.
So we're just gonna... That's not me hammering a nail, it's actually me pounding the chicken. and the idea behind this is you want to pound it so that the chicken breast is even all over the place, so it cooks evenly. And one chicken breast can really fill a plate.
You're really whacking away.
Yeah. What do you think?
Looking good? Pretty good.
Okay. Do you make this dish?
I don't have a mallet, so no.
That is such a poor excuse. You can use the bottom of a saute pan.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I'll try it.
That's an old kitchen trick. So I titled this episode 5 Dishes for Sophie, but it really could be for 5 dishes for anybody. I mean, the idea is that for somebody who's like a home cook, likes to cook at home, wants to cook more at home, I think that you need, or actually, even for people that haven't really cooked at all, but really want to learn how to cook. I think, like, during the pandemic, I spent a lot of time with my friends on Zoom, on FaceTime, literally walking them through the difference between salt and pepper. Yeah. Okay? Which is totally fine.
Yeah, I got a lot of calls during the pandemic.
I got a lot of phone calls, mm-hmm. But that's... I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to sort of pass along any knowledge I can help to get people's dinner to the table for their family, especially in times like that. So, but I always say the same thing. Like, you need 5 dishes, you know?
Yeah, you've always said that.
Like I said, like, to my friend Barry, who, like, is, I don't know how old Barry is. He's older than me. Let's put it that way. And, like, he's never really cooked before. So he had to, like, I had to tell him what pans to go buy. I had to tell him, like, what, like,
oh, that's so funny.
You know, like, and, like, if I say to him, buy penne, it's a half an hour conversation. You know, well, it's this quill-shaped pasta, like, you can find it in a box.
Oh, my God. Are you guys have been friends for how long?
No, but the thing is, like, anybody that cooks at all would take for granted. Somebody who doesn't cook or, looks at the kitchen in fear, you know, doesn't know anything. And so that's the way you have to sort of teach people, which is totally fine. So I spent a lot of time teaching Barry how to cook for him and his daughter, Juliet, because he needed to get dinner to the table.
Yeah.
Like, there was no restaurants open, and it was what it was. I mean, you could order in, but, like, frankly, it's like, it's a great time. It was a great time for people to learn how to do all kinds of things, including cooking.
Right.
So I think about, like, you and I have had this funny relationship with cooking because... You know, for your whole life, you're always like, I don't need to learn how to cook. My dad's a chef. We're covered.
It wasn't even I don't need to. It was just, I just am not super interested in it.
Okay. How do you feel now?
I mean, I really like hosting, so I want to be able to cook for my friends.
Yeah.
And so I wish I had paid a little bit closer attention, that's for sure.
You paid no attention to it.
Right.
Which was like, listen, I get it. I mean, you know, you're like, I'll figure something else out. Like, I'll contribute something else to this family. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the cooking part down, right? I get it. But but what happens is, and I remember this day. I think you were in college, and you were like, Dad, I mean, everybody here thinks I know how to cook. And I'm like, well, they're wrong. And like you know, it's sort of like, it's one of those sort of added issues that you have as who you are in the world, because your dad is a known cook. But like, so people just expect you to know how to like whip up dinner, like, because you probably learned how to do it over the years, and you didn't. So that said, just because you're not interested in it from a professional standpoint, like, I don't blame you, but knowing your way around the kitchen in some regard is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody should. But you don't have to be an expert in it. But like I always say, five dishes. So here are my five dishes. A steak dish, a pasta dish, a fish dish, a chicken dish, and a salad. So like, I think like knowing how to make a steak is imperative. I mean, steak is one of the things that like lots of people crave. Now, if you don't eat meat, obviously this does not include you.
Yeah.
So, but like for steak, I think a cast iron pan is incredibly important.
I cook everything in my cast iron pan.
Yeah, I know you say that. I love that.
I love it.
A cast iron pan, if you use it a lot, literally becomes nonstick.
Right.
It does.
Yeah.
And people are like, how is that possible? I'm just telling you, it is. Like, if you know how to use your cast iron pan properly, it's an incredible tool, because it holds the heat so well and it lasts forever if you take care of it. It's really, I mean, you can pass it down for generations. Did I buy for you?
No.
Okay. So a cast iron steak. So like, to me, like, what, like when you want to eat steak, what cut do you usually buy?
Well, I don't make steak for myself ever. If I'm doing red meat, I'll make lamb chops.
Okay. There goes my theory. Okay, so
no,
lamb
but it
chops.
Doesn't, it's not that I don't want to make steak. It's that I've never really paid attention to you making steak. And so I don't really have a great recipe for it. But lamb chops are so easy to me and kind of have the same flavors that I want if I'm having a steak to an extent. And so that's why I do that. But what would be your cut of choice for me to learn a great steak dish?
I think, look, there's all kinds of different cuts and they all work for lots of different ways. Filet mignon is the most popular. I mean, it's very tender. It's easy.
I love filet.
So then use filet.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest it, but like, use filet. But basically, you want to season it on all sides with salt and pepper, and you want high heat in your cast iron pan that you love so much. Some canola oil or some vegetable oil so that it starts to smoke, and and lots of salt and pepper so it's nice and so it gets really nice and crusty. So the salt and pepper is going to act in two ways: for flavor, of course, but also it's going to help achieve a crust on the outside of your steak.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So you put it in the pan, hot pan. It starts to sizzle. The smoke is billowing all through your apartment. It's okay. It smells good.
Open the windows.
Your ceiling has like a charcoal spot on the top of it. It doesn't matter. And so basically you want to crust it, turn it over. You can finish it in the oven if it's too thick and let it cook through. And basically what I do in this case is at the end, I just put a little pat of butter on top, let it melt, and then goes into the pan. It starts to brown and get a little nutty. You can take some of your, do you have any herbs in your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood?
Yeah, you live in LA. Isn't there like rosemary growing everywhere?
I actually always have rosemary and thyme.
Okay, perfect. Rosemary or thyme, you throw it in the pan, you let it get a little brown with the butter, and then you just take a spoon and just pour it over it. It's like that's the simplest pan sauce you're going to ever get. You don't need to add wine to it, nothing. It's delicious.
Yep.
And you have a steak that's cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you let it rest after you cook it so that the juices cool down. Because if you start cutting it right away, the juices run out and it dries out.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that.
All right, so we have a saute pan here.
Yep.
And do you use the green pan I bought you?
I do, I love it.
It's great, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's a good all-purpose pan.
I also use the Always pan.
What's that?
Always pan, it's a brand. It's a new brand.
Okay. So salt and pepper on both sides. And do you use Wonder Flour?
No.
So instead of like all-purpose flour, this is Wonder Flour. Wonder is a brand. I'm not sponsoring it, but it's the name of the, it's, they basically have the proprietary function here. So this is like, this. The flour is already steamed, so it's basically, I guess it's dehydrated and cooked. I'm not really sure the process, but the bottom line is it doesn't clump up.
Got it.
And it makes it a very light sort of coating on the outside, which is exactly what we want.
Cool.
Okay, so we're gonna coat it in the Wonder Flour. Just a very sort of light dusting on it. And then you want the oil just to kind of start to smoke a little bit, because we don't want the chicken to boil in the oil. We want it to
crisp.
We want it to get, yeah, we want it to get a little brown. That's the key. And the only way that's gonna happen is if the oil is hot enough. Okay? And then the other things we need are white wine, lemons, or lemon juice, fresh lemon juice, some capers, and then some parsley.
Okay.
You wanna chop some parsley?
Oh my God, you always make me chop parsley.
Do I?
That's like, yes, always. That's like always my my job in the kitchen, chopping parsley. How many cutting boards do you think you have?
A lot. Dish number two, pasta. Now, I will say this about pasta. You kind of have one of them on lock. Are you still making your penne alla vodka?
Yeah.
Is that your go-to?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right, take us through it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I use tomato paste.
And cream.
Yeah, I use heavy cream. I use a little red pepper flake, obviously vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else I use?
Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, at the end.
Okay. Basil?
Basil at the end, yep.
Just for the record, I make mine a little bit differently. I use... what are you laughing at?
Use canned tomatoes.
Well, my pink sauce is tomato sauce and cream. Yours is cream with tomato paste.
Yes.
Okay. It works. You love it.
So good.
Okay. Do your friends like it?
Yeah, love it.
Well, that's all that matters. Okay. Fish. So like... You need to be able to saute a fish, and this is the one that you're going to be really happy about. I mean, I think you can do the same thing we just did with the chicken, which is sort of like the piccata style. It's basically lemon and capers. You can do the same thing with fish, Sophie. A little Wonder flour or no flour. Hmm. You saute a fillet. So out here, rockfish is really prevalent. I love that fish.
I love halibut.
Halibut's amazing too. So you saute it, and you can saute it in a pan. Take the fish out. Again, white wine. Lemon juice, a little butter, capers, parsley, you're done.
I like the parchment paper technique.
Oh, you want to do the one in papillote?
Yeah.
Okay, you can do that as well.
Great.
You like that better?
Yeah, I think I do.
Because it's not as messy.
It's not as messy, and it's just a little nostalgic for me.
Really?
Yeah.
You said your mom would make that?
All the time.
So, okay, your mom took cooking classes. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And she's a really good cook.
She's a great cook.
Yeah, she's a really, really good cook.
Yeah.
I remember when we were married, she used to like yell at me about using chilies on everything. She's like, do we have to have ancho chili every day? And I'm like, well, that's what I'm cooking right now. So yeah. that's what it's going to be.
Yes.
All right. So, okay, can you hear the sizzle?
Yeah, totally.
All right, that's what you want to hear. All right, so chicken breast cooks very fast. There's almost no fat in it, okay? So basically what we want to do is we want to get a really nice crust on this one side. Do not touch it. Don't keep flipping and turning it.
Okay.
Just leave it down, direct heat.
For how long?
Well, this is probably going to take about, I'm going to say 2 minutes on this side, 2 real minutes, which is not a short period of time when you're cooking something. And then you're going to flip it over for probably another 2 minutes. It's probably 4 minutes total, depending on how thin you pounded it. I guess I pounded mine... What do you think that is? A half an inch?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. So I'm just going to stand here and watch this cook. See, I haven't actually touched it. We're going to let it get nice and brown. All right. So now, Sophie, I'm going to turn this over. You see that?
Yes.
See how nice and brown that
is?
Yeah,
it's golden.
Really nice. Like, you want to contrast the texture. Like, chicken breast has very little flavor and it has very little texture. So you have to treat this like a canvas, you know, for bigger flavors. So then another 2 minutes and, you know, this will be done. And then we can make the sauce right in the pan. And then you need a chicken dish. Now...
Well, I have a chicken dish.
Oh, my God.
I'm good at chicken thighs.
Take us through it.
Okay. Take out your cast iron pan.
Okay.
Place it.
Sophie... Do it as if you were going to do it on TikTok. We don't have all night.
Oh my God. Well, can you turn me on 3x speed?
Yes, exactly.
That's what it would take. No, I do. Okay, so I do chicken thighs, skin on, bone in.
Skin on, bone in.
Yes.
Got it.
Which is what you told me to do.
Yes.
And then you crisp the skin first in the cast iron pan. Well, you season it with salt and pepper. You season the thighs with salt and pepper, and then you put the skin down to crisp the skin for, I don't know,
yeah,
a few minutes. And then turn the
chicken thighs.
You turn the chicken thighs over. I put olive oil, a little butter, a bunch of garlic in the cast iron, and I put it in the oven at like, what, 400, 420?
Yeah.
And I actually, I know this, you probably wouldn't do this, but I actually put a lot of the herbs in also. But you,
then.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't do that because you always say put them in at the end.
Well, the hard herbs like rosemary and thyme, you can do that.
Oh, okay, well, that's what yeah. I do. I add in rosemary and thyme, maybe some sage.
Okay. Yeah.
And I leave it in for not too long.
Okay.
And that's how I...
Where'd you learn this recipe?
I mean, it's a combination of like watching you, Ina.
Your favorite cook.
And that's all.
Well, I'll say this. So,
But you know what else I do though sometimes is if I'm making chicken thighs, I usually make like baby potatoes on the side too. And I'll have them... What? I'll have them already roasting because they
baby potatoes?
Yeah.
What's a baby potato?
Maybe a baby potato.
Sophie, you need your own cooking show.
I hate you.
You hate me? Oh, thanks. So. Thank you.
Well, do you want me to keep going?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I am so intrigued by
those
this.
Are probably already roasting.
I just want everybody to understand something. I've never seen this. This is literally like talking about Bigfoot. Because... They say he's out there.
Why would you have seen it before?
Because you maybe, like, I don't know, you would cook maybe in my house or, like, you'd invite me over to your house. It's never happened.
I know, but that shouldn't be that surprising. And then I'll put the potatoes in the cast iron with the chicken so that they're all cooking together, all the juices are flowing.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a Michael Simon trick.
Oh, shout out Mike.
Maybe you got it from him through osmosis.
Okay, I mean, that would make sense.
Well, listen, chicken can go lots of different ways. Do you have a roasted chicken dish?
Yeah, I use the roasted chicken recipe from the no-fail roasted chicken recipe from Bon Appetit.
Okay, what about your girl, Ina Garten? Her chicken with the lemon and the onion is insane.
Yeah, you taught me that too. I've never, I don't know the proper term. Like when you butterfly. That's
butterfly
it. I've never butterflied a chicken before.
Butterfly or spatchcock? I did it right in front of you.
I know.
Yeah.
I just haven't. I haven't tried it yet.
All right, that's going to be one of your lessons.
Okay, great.
All right, so we have steak, pasta, fish, chicken. Now, I also have salad, which kind of is boring to me, but like you have to have a salad.
Yeah.
What's your go-to salad?
I really like an arugula salad with red onion, goat cheese, roasted butternut squash with
what?
A Greek yogurt and lemon dressing.
You're making this up.
I swear my life.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Wait. let me recall the salad.
Bigfoot has entered the
yes,
chat.
Yes, exactly. Arugula. Okay, hold on. Where did you come up with this? An arugula salad with goat cheese, butternut squash,
mm-hmm.
like roasted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red onion.
Red.
chopped red onion, and then a Greek yogurt and lemon dressing.
Sophie, where did you come up with this salad?
Does it not sound good to you?
It does sound good, but it sounds very complicated.
It's not complicated at all.
Well, you're roasting the butternut squash?
Yeah, you just slice a butternut squash in half, or you buy it already chopped up, and you throw it in the oven. It's not that hard. Come on, you're a chef.
Yeah, I know, but it seems a little elaborate for like a regular salad.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't really feel that way.
I have written down here chopped salad.
Okay.
Because actually, you had a chopped salad named after you that...
So good.
To this day at Mesa Grill, which is no longer Mesa Grill in Vegas, it's now Amalfi, but we still have a chopped salad.
A version.
We have a chopped salad at Amalfi, and the servers still refer to it as Sophie's. chopped salad.
Yeah, what's in that salad again?
Which one?
Sophie's chopped salad.
So it's chickpeas, tomatoes, blue corn tortillas, romaine lettuce, and cheddar cheese.
So good.
Yeah. We paid the rent with that salad for many years. Sophie's chopped salad. That salad was on the menu since you were a baby.
It's so good.
It's crazy. All right, so we have steak, pasta, fish, chicken, and salad. Do you feel like you need something else?
Dessert?
Do you really care about dessert?
Not really. I'd rather just have some ice cream. Or I love your chocolate chip cookies.
Well, that's a good thing to always have, is like some frozen batter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because it lasts.
It lasts. It lasts. It lasts for a long time.
What's in your chocolate chip cookies?
What do you mean, what's in them?
What's the recipe?
I don't remember.
What do you mean?
It's flour, eggs, chocolate chips. I don't know. I don't remember.
Brown sugar.
Oh, brown sugar, yeah. And basically, and my chocolate chip recipe, you have to let it rest the night before.
Oh, right. God, yours are so good. That got me through the pandemic, that dough.
That was an amazing collaboration. Well, you know, Stephanie Banyas, who co-authored all my books for all those years, she loved to bake, mm-hmm. loved cookies. Like, you know, she's a master.
I feel like all you need is a good ice cream sandwich.
So when we first opened Mesa Grill, we had the ice cream sandwich of the day.
What?
Yes, every day.
You had a different ice cream sandwich every day?
Every day.
Oh my God.
Because my pastry chef at the time, Wayne Harley Brackman, do you remember Wayne?
Yeah.
Okay. So Wayne was great at making cookies and great at making ice cream. Great. Not good, great. And so I was like, got it. Ice cream sandwiches. So we would come up with a list of like different cookies and different sandwiches and mix and match them and create like the ice cream sandwich of the day.
That sounds so good.
Don't you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, what a great idea. Really sizzling.
Yeah. So you want those crispy edges.
Yeah.
So then what we're going to do is we're going to make the sauce right in the pan.
Okay.
White wine, lemon juice, capers, butter, parsley.
Well, the chicken's still in there?
Nope. I'm going to take it out.
Okay, the chicken has been removed from the pan.
Right, it's on a plate. And you want that to rest for a second, but while it's resting, we're going to make the sauce. So same pan, still hot.
Whoa.
White wine.
Ah.
Yeah. So, but that's going to reduce, and the alcohol is going to cook off, and then some lemon juice, fresh lemon, and then your favorite.
Lots of capers.
So then, like all the chicken bits will come off. This is called the glazing it. So all the chicken bits and the juices will come into the sauce that you cooked it in.
Nice.
Right. And then the alcohol is cooking off of the wine, but you're retaining the flavor of the grape, so it's giving that nice acidity and that nice fruitiness.
Yeah.
Then you have the saltiness of the capers, the freshness of the lemon juice, and then we're gonna add some butter and some parsley at the end, some salt and pepper, and that's gonna be your sauce.
Great. Also pretty easy.
Very easy. And the Wonder Flour is actually gonna give the sauce a little bit of thickness, like a tiny bit of viscosity. Not a lot, just a tiny bit.
Could you do this with all-purpose flour or no?
You could, absolutely. Most people do it.
Okay.
So we're gonna melt the butter in there, and we're gonna put the parsley in at the very end.
Okay.
You always add
fresh herbs at the end.
Whenever there's something hot. Because you want them to retain their brightness and their freshness and their color. So if you cook them too much, they get bitter, they lose their brightness, and they turn gray. See how the sauce is coming together?
Yeah.
Salt and pepper. And then some parsley, beautifully chopped parsley.
Thank you.
And then literally, see how green that is?
Yeah, gorgeous.
That's it. So you take the chicken, and you just pour the sauce right over the chicken.
Lemony, buttery goodness.
That's for you.
Bon appetit.
You want to taste it?
Yeah. Gotta give it the old taste test. The caper smells so good.
Yeah. How do you cut?
What do you mean?
My God, your knife and fork etiquette are quite unbelievable.
Sorry, that was crazy.
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
I've never seen anybody cut something like that before, Sophie. You don't do that out in a restaurant, do you? If you do, please don't use our last name for the reservation any longer.
Oh, it's so good.
Want a glass of white wine?
Yeah.
Okay. What about a burger? Should that be part of your repertoire or not really?
A burger should definitely be part of it.
Okay. Is it an actual burger or is it a fake burger?
I mean, you're going to laugh at me, but I would want it to be like a salmon burger. I can't even look at you.
I don't even know what to say about this. Like, listen, I've had... Where are you eating salmon burgers? At home?
Yeah, I mean, I get the salmon patties from like Bristol Farms or like Whole Foods.
Oh, okay.
And then I cook them at home.
So they're done for you?
Yeah.
And what do you put on top?
Like mustard or like tartar sauce. They're so good.
Okay, no, it sounds good. But you don't crave like a cheeseburger?
No, I do crave a cheeseburger, but honestly, if I'm really craving a cheeseburger, I'm just going to go to In-N-Out.
What? Your father owns a burger place called Bobby's Burgers?
Not in LA.
I know. So In-N-Out's your thing?
I just love In-N-Out.
All right, but we're talking about eating out. Like I'm talking about eating at home. Will you cook a burger at home or not?
Yeah, I will. I don't have a grill, and I just think it's easier, but I could do it on a cast iron pan, obviously.
No question. Cast iron actually might be better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. My roommate doesn't eat meat, though, so it's kind of sad to eat a burger alone. But yeah, I think a burger is important to my repertoire of dishes that I can make for myself.
Okay, and then I think we should wrap this up by probably your favorite way. Do you have a go-to cocktail to add to this?
Oof.
You just need one.
Spicy margarita.
What do you make it spicy with?
Jalapeno. Chopped jalapenos.
You chop them.
Yeah. Yeah, so you oh, you're going to hate this. So you get like a big jug and you fill it with ice.
Thanks for listening to Always Hungry. We'll see you soon.
Always Hungry is created by Bobby Flay and Sophie Flay.
Our executive producer is Christopher Hasiotis.
Always Hungry is produced, edited, and mixed by Jonathan Haas-Dressler.
Always Hungry is engineered by Sophie Flay. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.